Jesus, your King, is born. Jesus is born in excelsis gloria. Please be seated. When my students from NYU saw that I was going to be preaching this Sunday, I was kidded quite a bit. Was I going to be using PowerPoint during the sermon? They used to refer to me as death by PowerPoint. I do have a classmate from when I was at Cardinal Glennon Seminary here who's sitting in the pew, and he can tell you that I go back to the days when I used a carousel of slides, showing slides above the crucifix for night prayer, and it did echo over very well, so I was ahead of my time. I promise you none of that today. On the past Thursday and Friday, we heard a gospel story of the birth of Christ, a story that all of us are very familiar with. Now, today, we're given images in the Gospel of John of the light and the Word of God. Now, remember, this is a fisherman who is writing or is part of the writing of this gospel. And he's the longest of all the apostles to live. He was never martyred. And when he was in exile, he would have what we now see as the images from Revelation. So where is this coming from? If you don't believe that the scripture is inspired by God, think of John the fisherman and how we have the stories that he has passed on to us. So he's talking about light and word. It's going from the child in the crib to light and word within a week. Remember also that he is a Greek Jew, so he was very familiar with the Jewish canon as well as the Greek canon. So he has read all the Greek stories of the time. So he's very familiar with their philosophy. And part of that is going to creep into how he uses light and word. And then his Jewish canon, going back to Proverbs and 2 Isaiah, we're going to hear about how wisdom becomes a part of God. This is a gospel passage that we have heard, and it's not the story of the Annunciation or the birth of Christ, but this is a story that goes all the way back to the beginning of time, to creation, and how the Word of God created the world as we know it today. John describes Jesus, the Christ, the Greek word for the Anointed One, the Mashiach, or the Messiah from Hebrew, as the Logos, which we translate in English as the Word, but I will give you some other variations of what it means in Greek that have not carried over into our translation of the English Bible that we know. As Christians, we believe that God became incarnate among us through Jesus the Christ. In Islam, the incarnation is in the Quran. In Judaism, with the destruction of the temple, the incarnation becomes the law and the Torah, the Pentateuch. So the Word was very familiar for an understanding for John, and he was going to live to the time of the destruction of the Second Temple. So today I'd like to talk about wisdom, Sophia, as how our Eastern Orthodox brothers and sisters have a concept of God that has left Western Christianity, and how this wisdom has become incarnate in the Word of God, the feminine principle in redemption. There's much that we can learn from our Eastern Orthodox brothers and sisters about the feminine character of God. And in the prologue of the Gospel of John, which Deacon Harry proclaimed just a few minutes ago, the identification of the Greek logos, which can mean word as we translate it, but also reason or rule, is a pre-existent Christ active in creation. Christ did not suddenly appear. Christ, as part of the Trinity, was there from the beginning and was part of the creation. It's his incarnation as a human amongst us to show us what life is like as a fellow human being, that his incarnation becomes important for us. But Christ was already existing since the very creation. So the identification, which is reminiscent of Proverbs 8, where Sophia, or wisdom, in the Jewish text, is the firstborn of creation. That God, before the creation of Adam, of creation of Adam and Eve, before the creation of animals, created wisdom. And that wisdom is what Genesis 1 tells us breathed life into all living beings, into all of nature, into all animals, all birds, all creatures of the sea, of everything that is in the galaxy, and in man and woman created in God's image. To miss this connection between wisdom in the New Testament Christology is to overlook the significance of the participation of the feminine aspect of God. In Western Christianity, we talk more about the masculine aspect of God as Father and Son, and we give a neutral gender to the Spirit. And it is through this invitation from wisdom to the table of bread and wine that God is sharing with us through his incarnate Son, that we have the invitation to approach God through Scripture, to study Scripture, and to become self-disciplined in our living. Because all of us are called to discipleship, and all of us are called to self-surrender. So it's been postulated that it is the feminine, the Logos or Sophia, which is missing in Western Christianity. Julian of Norwich has probably written more on the feminine aspect of God than any other mystic or theologian, and has been recognized for that. Had she been aware of the Eastern Orthodox aspect of Sophia, I can just imagine what we could have learned further from her on the feminine aspect of God. But in the West, we created this declaration of the Assumption of Mary in order to bring the feminine aspect of God, which was missing in the Trinity, and our understanding that Mary as the eternal virgin mother of God, and the saints who are women were always pictured as young and not as being matronly, in order to replace this aspect of spirituality that we have lost. So for some in the West, it has become a feminine spirituality rather than a masculine spirituality. The Trinity symbol is exclusively masculine in character. The whole of Christian theology is Trinitarian in origin and content. The Trinity denotes first the homoousia, or essential unity of a three-part process, a self-communication of God the Father in the Word made flesh, and our apprehension of the God in Christ occurs only because of the Holy Spirit who dwells within our hearts and elevates our whole consciousness in that dwelling which has drawn us. Now, the Trinity was affirmed in the Councils of Nicaea, and we will recite the Creed of Nicaea in 325, and at the Council of Constantinople in 381, and in the Athanasian Creed. With the final separation between the Orthodox from the Roman Catholic churches in the 11th century, the result was over the relationship of the Holy Spirit to the person of God the Father and God the Son in the Trinity. The Greek Church states that the Holy Spirit proceeded only from the Father, whereas the Latin Church insists that the Holy Spirit proceeded from the Father and the Son, the filioque clause. In Proverbs, wisdom is repeatedly personified as a woman. The Hebrew word for woman, for wisdom, chokmah, is of course feminine to start with. So the feminine personification of etymological is neutral when it comes to Christianity. Wisdom is an invitation to the banquet which Christ has called us to at his Last Supper. Wisdom speaks to our heart. Wisdom is not there to command, but in order to entice and seduce us. Her words, while not clear intelligibly, but are very sweet and attractive for us to read the Bible, to read the Word of God as it is proclaimed. The Sophia God of Jesus recognizes all Israelites as her children, and they all prove her right. The soul is seen as feminine because the union with God is one-sided. God gave himself, and all of humanity had merely to receive passively, since receptivity is identified with femininity. The part of man as humanity which could unite with God had to be seen as having a feminine soul. The feminine aspect of God's wisdom and the masculine aspects of Christians as the adopted sons of God is disregarded. So this exclusively masculine God has led in the West to the predominance of a women's spirituality. In the past, perhaps the overemphasis of Mary by the Latin Church may have been a way in order to compensate for what has been missing in that spirituality that men could not have a relationship with, because how, as a man, do I relate with all my emotions to a masculine God and to the Son of God? This corresponds to the character of God's wisdom and the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. I encourage you to go back and to read the books of wisdom, to read Proverbs. And if you look at the Orthodox iconography, how Sophia is representative, and all of us are familiar from our history books about the Hagia Sophia, the holy wisdom, the great church, which had been in Constantinople, which during the time of the conquest by Islam, now Istanbul, that Hagia Sophia was an integral part and still is an integral part of Orthodox spirituality. And she is typified in the icons as a woman dressed in red who is young with wings of an angel in order to come down and impart and to open our hearts and minds to the words of God. And she is co-equal as an aspect of Christ, that Christ does not lose both his masculine and feminine sides, but he has them both integrated. Now, if you look at it from a psychological standpoint, it had been that when we reached our 40s, men and women became more and more alike, but that is no longer true. Our 20-year-olds are now becoming and being able to display the impact of their feminine side as a male or their masculine side if they're a female. And I would hear complaints from my psychology students at NYU that their guys, boyfriends, were crying more at the chick flicks than they were. And they were becoming embarrassed. And I said, well, it's your mothers or their mothers who are at fault for trying to bring that aspect of their sons out. So there's this parallel to the Word, the Logos, the Son of God, and the close association with Christ, which excludes the parental identification. Sophia is neither motherly or fatherly. Sophia is one with Christ and is a daughter since the beginning of creation with Jesus Christ. So there is much that we can learn by going back to what the Eastern Orthodox Church continues to teach. Again, I encourage you to read Julian of Norwich, who has written very extensively on the feminine aspect of God. And I would like to conclude with an antiphon to wisdom. Wisdom has built herself a house. She has prepared her table, has brought forth her wine, and she calls to her children, come and eat of my bread and drink of my wine. Come to the feast I prepared for you. Come to the feast of the table of God. Amen.